Seeker's Bible Study Course, Lesson 7, True Worship. A Christian enjoys a special relationship with God. Having been added to the body of Christ at baptism, each member becomes part of a large family, the church. Everyone who has obeyed the gospel is part of that spiritual family for which Christ died. As individuals, each of us can worship God when we are alone, all by ourselves. We can also worship Him together as a family at home. We are free to sing praises and offer up prayers to Him any time of the day, any day of the week. It is not necessary to go to God through a priest or other designated and ordained person. We can freely worship any time, any place. But God has set aside the first day of the week, Sunday, as the time for the church to meet. In fact, it was the first day of the week when 3,000 souls were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, and were added to the church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. From that day, nearly 2,000 years ago, until now, Christians have met upon the first day of the week to worship God, to remember Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, to study God's Word, to pray, to give part of our money or goods back to God, and to sing. We will discuss each of these after a look at the nature of true worship. Consider carefully the scriptures quoted below. The nature of true worship. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The first three Bible passages quoted above are all very similar to each other. All three use the word truth. Worship, if it is to be correct, must be according to truth. We must do those things and only those things that God has commanded. The fourth verse cited also makes this point. Whatever we do in deed, including worship, and whatever we do in word, teach, must be in the name of Jesus, which means by His authority. If God does not authorize the worship we give Him, then it is not true worship. Genuine worship must also be with all your heart, or in sincerity, or in spirit. Worship that is without love cannot be offered to Almighty God. He would be insulted just as He was by those of old who offered Him their worship, but said, "Oh, what a weariness." Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. The Lord's Supper. When the church was established in the first century, the disciples met on the first day of the week to break bread. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 42. That phrase refers to the Lord's Supper, a memorial to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Paul reminded the Corinthians of its purpose. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. The unleavened bread used in this remembrance represents the body of our Savior, who was crucified for our sins. The fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed for us. Each first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 33, we gather together around His table to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. Giving. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And one of our privileges as Christians is to give back to God some of what He has blessed us with. Paul commanded brethren to give on the first day of the week as they have been prospered. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Continuing in the Apostles' Doctrine. When the 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost, they knew their sins were forgiven, but they needed to learn the teachings of the new kingdom. Therefore, the apostles taught them the things that had been revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Whether they spoke or wrote through inspiration, their words were truth, the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Like the Bereans, we should search the Scriptures daily, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to make sure that we are being taught the truth. We also need to study God's Word so that we may grow spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Prayer. Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Each Christian should approach the Father through Jesus many times every day, as well as in an assembly on the first day of the week. God must continually be in our thoughts and in our hearts. We thank Him for His greatness and His gracious salvation, knowing from His Word how much He loves us. We may also make requests of God, but they should not be for purely selfish things. James chapter 4, verse 3. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Singing. Christians also have the responsibility to speak to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The New Testament authorizes us to sing to God and one another. It never tells us to use instruments of music to accompany that singing. Remember, we're to do only that which Jesus authorizes. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. There is no record where either He or His disciples ever sang spiritual songs with musical accompaniment. The sin of Jeroboam. A man named Jeroboam changed the way God said to worship. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. This decision caused him and the people to sin a great sin, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 21. By his example, we see that no one has the right to add to what God has commanded for worship. No one has the right to take anything away either. We must be content to worship as God has commanded us. God hates idolatry. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Lesson 7 questions. Fill in the blanks with the proper answer. Number 1. The day of the Sunday is the time Christians are to meet to offer up their to God. Number 2. The bread represents the of Jesus which was given on the cross. The cup, the fruit of the vine, represents His. Number 3. Paul commanded Christians to give on the day of the week as we have been. Number 4. The apostles spoke through the of the Holy Spirit. Number 5. We should the scriptures to make sure that we are being taught the. Number 6. Christians are taught to pray without. Our request should not be for purely things. Number 7. Christians should speak to each other in and songs. Number 8. A king named changed the way God said to worship. In doing so, the nation committed a sin. No one has the right to or take God's rules for worship. Mark the following statements true or false. Number 1. Since we can worship God as individuals, it is not ever necessary to meet with the church. Number 2. Truth is not an important part of worship. Sincerity is all that is needed. Number 3. To break bread may refer to the Lord's Supper. Number 4. Christians should observe the Lord's Supper once a month. Number 5. God does not expect His children to enjoy giving. Number 6. Studying the Word of God will cause us to grow spiritually. Number 7. God does not want to hear our request. Number 8. The New Testament never authorizes us to use musical instruments to accompany our singing. Number 9. Christians do not need authority for what they teach or practice.